You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You want the good to hear from, you know, I mean, like, you know, you're in here so often, so much, so long, going over these details, trying to figure it all out. And you just, you know, if it looks good, you know, you want to know, like, you know, because you want to keep doing it over and over. You want to keep doing that same, you know, not be a light switch. You want to do that same thing over and over and over if it's good. So that little, you know, that little bit of, you know, that was a good rap, that this and that, whether it's, you know, a pass and you're getting through your reads or you're taking the first read, good ball placement, you just want to keep doing that same thing over and over again. And, you know, obviously if it's bad, you want to hear that too, because you want to go out there and be able to execute and run it exactly how the coach wants it. And, you know, that's what we're striving for.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, you want the good from Caleb Williams, from whom you just heard. In fact, I'd even still like the great from the Bears starting quarterback. I am Mark Crotty, here for one more hour on The Score. I've got those Sandberg stories. Got those for you coming up in a little bit. We'll hear from Rick Hahn, the White Sox general manager working for MLB Network these days. Really interesting to hear him break down his ex-players, Luis Robert, and him knowing things that other people don't know makes that super fascinating. Talking about the Cubs and the trade deadline, which we are at this very moment keeping our eyes on because the deadline hits dead at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and that is Chicago time. We don't mess with Eastern times when we're talking on The Score. That will be at 5 o'clock. The Bears practiced again today out at Halas Hall, and for another eyewitness view of what was happening with Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is our guy, Scott Bear, Bears beat reporter for the Marquee Sports Network, one of the hosts of the Chicago Football Show podcast. So I get to see Scott Bear's mug pop up every once in a while on the Marquee Sports Network, and we go to him right now. Scott, what's going on, man?
How's it going, Mark? Carmen, my fellow co-host on the Chicago Football Show, likes to say that we are famous for being on mute in a sports bar, and that and that's how we get recognized most often. But go ahead, hit unmute. I promise you, there's some good content there too.
That's hilarious. Yes, the great Carmen Vitale, who also is a part of that podcast that that you guys perform. It's funny because it pops up. Like, I don't know. Like, after Cubs games is always fun. Like, what's going to pop up? Are we going to a classic Cubs game? Oh no, it's the Chicago Football Show. I am very interested. Today, actually, it was my guy Gabe Ramirez and the Chicago Fire Show that popped up. But you pop up every once in a while, and I really do enjoy the podcast. You three got a good chemistry.
Yeah, it's been fun. We were out there, I think, 5 days over the course of training camp, so we've seen every single second of every single training camp practice, every rep Caleb Williams has taken, and on down from the first to the third unit. It's been interesting so far. Not necessarily fascinating or illuminating to this point, but interesting.
Yeah, interesting is a pretty good word. Let's take it a little bit further. How would you, because we all have our own way of doing it, saying it, writing it, characterizing it, How would you describe how good, average, or bad Caleb Williams has been in practice so far?
Isn't this such a fun case study? Because you can get, 20 people with phones in their hands, and they're all tweeting, and they all have a credential, and you have the complete spectrum of what Caleb Williams is doing out there. You see some absolute insanity to saying that he's locked in and completely dialed in and owning the defense, right? I'm sure everyone's seen those. Not true. And then you kind of see some stuff where it's like, oh my gosh, can this guy even complete a pass? Also not true. Right. And I hate to find space in the gray here, Grody, because that's not always good sports talk radio. But I think that he's better. I still wouldn't call it good. Mm-hmm. But I think that what I try to understand and listen to is Ben Johnson specifically, who has some truth serum in him. He just can't help it sometimes. And Caleb Williams does too, that they are taking this thing incrementally. And sometimes it's not how many deep balls did he complete. It's how many times did they have to rehuddle. And I know that's, as Ben Johnson put it, high school Harry type stuff, right? But they have broken him down. They are building him back up. There is so much new compared to his rookie season and anything that he's done in college. I'm not asking fans to give him grace. I'm just saying that it's not even August 1st yet. He is a little slower to progress than even some of the backups when it comes to lining up and getting everything set. Every now and then he does a Caleb Williams type thing, and you're like, okay, if we can somehow do that and get more consistent, then you're going to be in better shape. So that's where we are, somewhere in the gray, not super fun topics, but that's where we are. He's not locked in terms of how he's going to be, and he's not a hopeless case either, somewhere in the middle.
What did you think about the way he answered the question of how new and different is this relative? I think it was Leisure that asked the question, relative to last year's experience and even his college experience, basically summarizing without the exact words of the question, like, how different is all of this? Are you taking in more than you've ever taken in before? And he kind of just generalized and said, well, it's always going to be different. It's going to be different every year. But my question to you, Scott, is do you think what's going on with Caleb Williams is something like he's never seen before at this level or even at the college level? Do you feel like some of this is, oh, wow, I got a lot to learn?
I think you're right. I also will admit I'm writing a story about Caleb for the morning, and I was just looking over the transcript when you came on the air. I was reading that exact quote, and he says it's different. It's a whole new playbook, different terminology, different reads, different footwork, different things like that. So there's always going to be a lot to learn. That's part of playing the position, but being able to go out there and handle it is what we all get paid to do. I swear it's literally on my screen.
That's
I can't
awesome.
Believe that you brought that up. But I also think that it goes to, that's a lot of new stuff, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing more play action. He's doing more under center. He's doing different footwork. Everything that we've heard from anyone going up there is that the play calls are long, right? Which there's nothing wrong with that, but the play calls are long. You got to get that right. You have to get the cadence out. And Ben Johnson and the offensive staff are absolutely throwing tons and tons and tons of information at this guy. And that Dennis Allen is his job, as he said on Wednesday today, that his job is to get a good, and I quote, frickin' defense out there. That's his job. His job is not to help the quarterback come along. His job is to go throw it out there, find things that work, and build his unit up. So that's a lot for Caleb Williams to deal with. That's not an excuse. It's just a fact. And when we are watching these practices, and fans who are not at these practices are seeing these tweets, I want them to re-listen to this interview between me and you right now and contextualize it, right? It's the only way that they're going to understand where we are right now. Now, if I keep putting this benchmark out there, and it's mine, it's not anybody else's. I didn't hear it from a podium. That joint practice against the Dolphins, to me, is such a litmus test.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yep.
And you know, I think you and I have talked about this. A while ago, it was a long ways away. Now, a little bit closer. And I think that's a big litmus test. How is he going to perform in that one? And then how does he rebound and perform against the Bills, who are no joke? So that's where I look at, if he looks terrible against the Dolphins in that joint practice and then doesn't rebound against the Bills, then I'm going to be like, somebody unlock the panic button. Let's maybe start to hit it.
Wow, that's huge, man. That's like the training camp Super Bowl when those two teams come through town,
is.
Man. I mean, you're right,
though. I think it's going to be big, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, by then we'll be hearing about how the Bears are tired of hitting each other, and then along come the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills, and that stuff is going to be totally real. I was just thinking about this, too. Oh, I was thinking a couple things that, as you were talking about the way we report and how some of the reports are total opposite of what one reporter is thinking because somebody in the stands writes somebody. And so because of that, every Bears reporter, including me, we've all been ratioed, man. We've all been hit over the head with comments and just mean stuff, man. Like, sometimes I'm just like, why? Like, you could come at it, because that's what sports is. We're doing it right now, and we criticize players. But the mean level of some of Bears Twitter, it's just like, come on, man. That's just mean, man.
Yeah, and it's just about trying to present what you see in the context that you know. And it's an old football coachism thing, and fans don't necessarily want to hear it, but there's sometimes we have no idea what the design of the period is, right? Like, we just don't. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's to increase pressure. Maybe
right.
It's to create jailbreaks. There's so many different things that are going on that I've gotten my hand slapped by a head coach as being like, you reported that this backup quarterback was terrible. I was forcing him to throw it to tight windows. Mm. Okay, sorry, bud. So there are things like that. That's why I'm just saying, like, it's like a layer cake. And I know that fans, I think, kind of brought in Ben Johnson, and then you have this, like, incredibly talented human being, and you sprinkle, like, a little Ben Johnson on it, and then it's, like, magically going to grow like a beanstalk, right? Well, right. Maybe not, you know, and maybe it's going to be a little more nuanced, but it does seem like, again, I go back, I'm not saying Ben Johnson goes up in front of a podium and says exactly what's on his mind every second of every day. I don't believe that to be true. But I do think that there's an inkling towards telling it like it is. I really do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, and he's been willing to criticize people, including his quarterback, or not killing them, but saying some negative things sometimes. And he is very deliberate about, like, I like his process. I think these things are moving in the right direction. I'm not worried. Sometimes that's a message to the player. I don't think so. I think that, of course, he wants things to be better. Of course he does. But I think that there's a plan that's being executed from this coaching staff, and we need to kind of see it for the bigger picture. And Caleb is going to go through this arc. And if the coaching staff does it right and his talent and he processes it well and Caleb does his job, he's going to come out the end of a very difficult 5-6 week stretch a better quarterback and closer to being ready for week one.
Amen. One thing, Scott, that did not really show itself last year was Caleb having, like, great chemistry with, like, one receiver, whether that was DJ Moore or Rome Odunze. I guess Keenan Allen. He loved Keenan Allen. I guess if there was somebody with whom chemistry was developed, I guess it was Keenan Allen. But, you know, that doesn't ruin my example because Keenan Allen no longer here. Have you seen, with your eyes, in this training camp, any chemistry, like one guy that he seems to be comfortable with this year? And even if you don't, is there somebody that you think and look at and say, there better be chemistry with that guy?
I think Rome Odunze is kind of both of those things. Mm. We all know what DJ can do, and I think DJ is going to be schemed open. And DJ, if you look at his target count and target share, back when he was with Carolina all the way through, he gets open, he demands the ball, he will get targets. But I think that Rome is kind of a guy that came from the same draft class, and that's a guy as your ex receiver that I think you really need to be like, he needs to take that next step, right? I think people often forget he's the number 9 overall pick. He's anywhere besides under Caleb, like under the number 1 pick. He is, especially in the number 3 largest media market in the country, he is analyzed every route, every rep. And I think that the chemistry needs to be there. I think it's building. I think those guys like each other. And I think that's going to be important. And I know it's really young, but real quickly, I think Colston Loveland, I haven't seen enough of him to make any sort of judgments. That's impossible. He's done like 3 full practices.
Right.
But I'm curious, and I wonder if he's quarterback friendly. I think he is. And I think a quarterback-friendly tight end up the seam that Caleb can trust. He mentioned a play that he threw to Colston that slipped out of his hand, and Jaquan Brisker was all over him, and Colston found a way to make Caleb kind of look good and save the play, right? And Caleb said, plays like that build trust. Now, that's just one. Mm-hmm. And trust is easier lost than gained.
Right.
But you keep doing that, and I think 84 is going to be a real player here. But we have to obviously see that play out. No bold proclamations, but I think the young guys, Adunze and Loveland, have to find sync with their quarterback.
I do have a good feeling about Colston Loveland. And you're right, it's ridiculous to proclaim anything, but there's something about, not just from what I've seen the way he plays, but there does seem to be, Scott, and I've fallen for this stuff before, and maybe you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but there does seem to be a mentality with Colston Love, like football, football, football. I think he might be one of those guys, which is good.
Yeah, I also think he's one of those guys where it's like, I don't think he's cocky or like arrogant or thinks he's like a supreme being or something like that. But if you ask him something about football, like he was asked on Tuesday, like, are you finding moments where your game translates? And he's like, yeah, all the time. Right, like it's very simple. Like, yeah, like I know I can play here. That's obvious, right?
That.
Like, didn't we all know that already?
Yeah.
And I think there's some quiet confidence. Now, again, it's so early, but these things that we're trying to mine, right, is we're trying to kind of understand what the 2025 Bears are in this vortex of training camp, one practice after another. Sometimes you forget they're only 24 hours apart. Because there's so much analysis, and there's so much charting, and there's so much stuff that goes into it. You don't want to make, like what we were saying, bold proclamations. But these little things that we can mine, if you listen close enough, sometimes they'll tell you something. And that kind of quiet confidence, we'll see what happens if Miami or Buffalo or Minnesota knocks him around and how he responds to that. But that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
What is Scott Baer joining us from the Marquee Sports Network, Bears beat reporter for, again, the Marquee Sports Network. He is also one of the hosts of the Chicago Football Show, a podcast that you can watch on the Marquee Sports Network as well, and you could probably listen to the audio version of that as well. What has stood out to you, I guess, in this camp about the defense? And I know Dennis Allen, the Bears' new defensive coordinator, was speaking today. What has stood out about what he has said or what you've seen philosophically? And I know it's hard to pick up early philosophically from Dennis Allen.
Yeah, so I covered, fun facts. I covered Dennis Allen when he was the head coach of the Raiders, and he was like maybe 39 or 40, 41 years old.
Oh, hell, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah,
you always surprise me, Scott Baer. You are full of surprises, sir.
Yeah, I'm an old fart at this point. But so I've covered Dennis before, and to see him in this state as a defensive coordinator, obviously we're talking 10, 12 years later, and to kind of see the way his defense has kind of evolved but conceptually kind of stays the same, I would say that my biggest takeaway is, one, he knows he's a good defensive play caller. His system works. His playbook works. And I think he is excited about the talent that he has because it fits what he likes to do. There's been a lot of, like, everybody talks about his base defense is like a 4-3. Not really. It's like a 4-2-5. And sometimes, like, if he could put 11 defensive backs out there, maybe he would. And I think that his ability to use Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon with his mad scientist defensive schematics is going to be really interesting to watch. That doesn't mean it's always going to be six defensive backs. But I think those two chess pieces with Kevin Byard's ability to really play center field and Tremaine Edmonds going sideline to sideline, I think he's excited about the talents of the linebacker and defensive backs. Defensive backs, probably the strength of that defense and what he can do with them. I think we're starting to see it a little bit, and I'm fascinated. The more he gets to know the individuals that I mentioned, Edmonds, Brisker, Gordon, the more he gets to know those guys, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what he does with them. That doesn't mean all blitzes, but I think it's going to be interesting to see him move them around the chessboard and create havoc, especially against young quarterbacks.
No doubt about it. Scott Baer, great stuff as always. Looking forward to your reports from what is supposed to be a big day tomorrow at Halas Hall. Tomorrow's supposed to be the longest practice, is that right?
Let's get it on. Yeah, pads are back on.
Let's go. Bears. Let's crunch. Fans are going to be out there. And Scott Baer will be reporting on the Marquee Sports Network. Scott, Bears. Thanks as always, man.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Anytime, dude.
You got it, buddy. That is Scott Baer.
Bears.
From the Marquee Sports Network. When we return, just did traffic and weather together and Bears. But when we return, I have my fun little stories with Ryan Sandberg. Fun stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dallas Green put the team together, and it really clicked. The last week of spring training, Dallas brought over Gary Matthews and Bob Dernier. Now we had a leadoff hitter, a number three hole hitter. Both Sarge came from the Phillies. They just won the World Series in 1980. Ron Say, the year before, World Series champion with the Dodgers. Larry Boa, shortstop, World Series champ with the Phillies. I was surrounded by players that experienced that and knew that. So it was somewhat of a veteran team, maybe with a 2 or 3 year window. And I was a young piece within that group. But what made it special was the character of those guys and the work ethic and their winning ways and their winning attitude.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'd say the 1984 Cubs are like a second language for me. Mostly for better, some for worse, because anybody who was a child of the 1984 Cubs knows that that was sports traumatic when all they had to do was win one game against the damn San Diego Padres, and they would have advanced to the 84 World Series to take on the Detroit Tigers. And I think the world was wanting to see that classic matchup, which never happened. But that was my coming of age of sports, you know? Like, it was like really where I was conscious and into and understanding sports from a young child's age, but really conscious of it. So that's some of my perspective on Ryan Sandberg and the fact that I did do in 2016, the World Series year, I was doing pre and post game that year with the Chicago Cubs, and Ryan Sandberg did a whole bunch of post games with us on home games. So I got to know Ryan Sandberg professionally and to some degree personally as well. So we had a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to try to overdo it and tell you that I hung out with Ryan Sandberg or anything like that, but we had a nice texting relationship. We had a fun professional relationship, and we smiled when we saw each other. So that's all I could ask, really, man, as a kid who watched Sandberg and then worked with Sandberg. And now when I would see him, we would just smile and laugh. So just because, you know, and I have what I think is like, it's like a really low key story, but I think it's really funny too. It was a few years ago. I don't remember the exact year. We have been doing the toast to Harry at the Harry Carey's location
over at Navy Pier. And it was one of the years that they were doing that. I was not necessarily planning on attending, but I lived at the time close enough to Navy Pier that it's a walk. It's a 20, 25-minute walk from my place. So I heard them talk, and I heard them say that Rhino was there. So I was like, oh, you know what? That's it. It clinched it. I'm getting up off my butt, and I'm going to walk to Navy Pier, and I'm going to hang out and have a toast to Harry and see if I can get in a conversation with my old buddy Ryan Sandberg. So I go over there, and it's great. It's packed. Lots of people. You know, talked to a bunch of people before I finally got to Rhino, and he was hanging out, and he saw me, and, you know, he smiles, we give each other a hug, and then we're just shooting the bleep about whatever, and I don't remember the exact context in which it came up, but it was something about needing to loosen up a little bit or laugh a little bit more, have some fun. And at the time, Ryan Sandberg was an endorser for a company called Verilife, which is a marijuana dispensary. So, and I knew he was doing that, and I'd never broached the topic with him. Like, look, she's probably very proud of it. Like, I'm like, it doesn't have to be like this weird thing anymore. So at some point, I said to him, Rhino, I go, why don't you bust out some of the Verilife, man? I know you probably got a pocket full of it right there. And Ryan spit his drink, and I got a belly laugh from him, like all out, like head pointed up, laughing his ass off like a little kid because he thought it was funny and because it was like, hee, 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 yeah, that's right, Mark, marijuana. So it was just, that's not a story you're going to hear from other people. It was just a beautiful moment. And no, we did not go outside and get high. It didn't happen. It was just for the laugh. And I got a great laugh out of him. And I will never forget that because there are some people in life who, if you can make them laugh, you feel pretty good about yourself. So I love that moment with Rhino. Maybe my favorite Rhino story is, you know, the Verilife story, that's up there just because of the childishness of the moment. You know, think about this. Ryan Sandberg, the Sandberg game, an MVP, one of the greatest second basemen of all time, a Hall of Famer, and we're giggling about Verilife. So that felt good. And then there was the day, and I did tell these stories, so if there's a repeat for you, I apologize, but I'm telling these damn stories again. As we get older, we retell stories a lot, right? There was a day that I was doing post-game with Rhino. Rhino would watch the game from the stands, man, which is just very Rhino, right? He would sit in the stands. He, you know, his wife, Margaret, might be there. His grandkids might be there, but he would sit in good seats at Wrigley Field, watch the game and take notes and all that kind of stuff. But he did it from the stands. One day that he was watching from the stands, it was one of those Wrigley days where you didn't have the right attire. How many times, Cubs fans, have you not had the right attire at a Cubs game? Mostly it's we don't have the proper layering. A jacket or a coat, we get screwed because you're sitting in the shade, and then you're like, what is supposed to be 65 degrees literally feels like 40 degrees sometimes at Wrigley Field. So Rhino's cold. He was ill-prepared. And so what did he do? He went to the concession stand and bought himself a souvenir Cubs starter jacket. So he bought himself a jacket, and he told me this. I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air that he told the story. I really don't remember, but he got a belly laugh from me on that one because that's just hilarious. And to him, it was like, well, you know, I was cold, Mark. I needed a jacket. So he went and got a jacket, and that's what you do.
They don't have one of his own jackets probably somewhere hanging up, right?
Well, it's not even that. All he would have had to do was, like, make one text to one person, and he would have had four choices of stuff. Would you like the blue style? Would you like a little glossy on there? Would you like the City Connect jacket? You know,
That's true. They would have been right. Yeah, he would have been given the a la carte of,
yes.
Cub jackets, oh, right?
Oh, absolutely. A la carte is a good way to put it. And I will say, like, yeah, doing the post games with him was a blast. It was cool because it's Ryan Sandberg. But also, I collaborated. I like saying that I collaborated, by the way. Make no mistake about it. I collaborated with Chris Tannehill
And Ryan Sandberg on a salute to Sandberg, the Ryan Sandberg special, which I know I retweeted recently. So if you go to at Grody Sports, is that my Twitter account?
I don't understand anymore.
And maybe, Sean, maybe you could post it on your Twitter as well or on the Score Twitter.
Sure.
The salute to Sandberg, which was a really just a good tight hour of Ryan Sandberg-ness that we did last year ahead of the statue unveiling.
You guys did an awesome job with that. It was great.
Thank you. And Tannehill, like, of course, it's going to be an A-plus before Tannehill walks into the studios. But he and I, before we had Rhino on, we lined him up, got him. We were in the production studio. We're getting ready to do the interview. And, you know, there's a couple of TV monitors in there as well. We get Rhino on. We put him through the board is one of the jargon things there. Through the board, which means we could hear him in our headphones and he's ready to do the interview. But there was the end of a very tightly contested Cubs game going on. So Tanny, myself, and Rhino all watched the Cubs game together. And hearing Rhino making the comments, like it was classic though, because Rhino's so soft spoken and all that. So when something bad would happen, he would literally just go, "Not good, not good." Not good. So, and Tanny and I, speaking of little kids, we would look at each other just like, listen to Sandy, you know, not Sandy, he's Sandy to me, okay? All right, that's what it is. I would also like to, so that was a blast. I would also like to recommend, like all of the stories that have been written about him, I'm here for all of them. I'm catching up on them. I love hearing, especially from people who, you know, covered the team, people who knew him. I love talking to those scribes and reading what they write about Rhino or anything 1984 Cubs. And there's a piece in the Chicago Tribune, which might give you something a little bit different too, on chicagotribune.com, written by my friend. Disclaimer, he's my friend. He's Dan Dorfman, who writes about Score history. He's a White Sox historian, and he writes for the Chicago Tribune. And that is, I just retweeted that. It's at the top of my Twitter, if you don't feel like going to chicagotribune.com. If that's easier for you for some reason, by all means. But Mr. Dorfman wrote a really good story where he takes some different angles. So I would invite you to read that if you are like me and just wanting to, just voracious about it, wanting to get your hands on everything that you could read. Because, you know, again, you know, with all of this, and we've done this before where we at the Score are eulogizing people, and it's horrible. It's horrible that Ryan Sandberg died at the age of 65. It's horrible that this man probably, maybe, was at the happiest point in his life, has lost his life. But selfishly, it gives all of us the opportunity to hear the stories about this man on the baseball field, off of the baseball field. Good things, bad things, because it wasn't all perfect, you know? It wasn't all roses for Rhino throughout. And I'm talking mostly about his post-playing career and, you know, talking about how hard he worked his ass off trying to become a manager for the Chicago Cubs, which he wanted to, eventually became a manager with the Phillies. It didn't really take, and I think my theory is on that, and I did hear some utterances of similar things, like Ryan Sandberg, as you get to know him better, he didn't play games. He worked his ass off. Not just one of these guys that talks about it and tells us how he's the first one there and the last guy out. Like, and that's another thing that I'm kind of astonished by is some of the work ethic that he had and some of the things that he literally did. His pregame workout was just ridiculous, and how over the top, sort of serious Ryan Sandberg was about the game, old school, if you will. That's about when, well, actually, no, I mean, they were well into it. What was that, 2012 when he was the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies or thereabout? It's a different generation of baseball. Salaries have escalated, more power for the players, which probably in a lot of ways is good, but it also takes away from what was an old school mentality that had to, we were talking about earlier, Coomer's baseball sensibilities being insulted. I think the same thing with Ryan Sandberg. He was probably pretty hard on those guys. He probably had a lot of expectations that didn't really jive with the modern baseball player. So that it sucks, but Rhino was going to be Rhino. Sandy was going to be Sandy, and he was going to give that team, that Phillies team, what he gave to the Cubs. That was his mentality and the managers that he had. And hey, look who he looked up to the most in his baseball playing days. Andre the Hawk Dawson. Could there be a more serious guy, a more professional player? Oh, and he was great as well, just like Ryan Sandberg. We do need to take a break. I could do this. Like I said, I speak 1984 fluently. So if you don't stop me, then I'm just going to keep talking about it. But I want to switch the samples to Rick Hahn, the former general manager of the Chicago White Sox, was talking about one of his former pupils, one of his former, not draftees, signings, Luis Robert, and it's just fascinating because we know that he knows. He knows everything. He knows more than anybody sitting on that panel at MLB Network. So we'll talk White Sox and Rick Hahn next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You Must Remember This is the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2-1, Robert with a high fly ball into the right field corner, back toward the wall, and this will float over the fence. Robert with a two-run shot. The White Sox have gotten to Sanchez for two-run homers, and they lead 4-2.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, the only thing that general managers around Major League Baseball are thinking of or looking at when it comes to the White Sox, Luis Robert, is the year 2023. The last time he looked like he might be an MVP-type player considering all the tools that he has. And I'm just looking it up right now because I know that was the year. Yeah, 38 home runs for Luis Robert in 2023. It's not that long ago, but it's kind of been an agonizing last 2 years for Luis Robert, up until recently, that Robert's been playing better. Doesn't mean it's good. It's like Caleb Williams. He's been better. It doesn't mean that it's good yet. And we're all looking for good. We're looking for great. All right, I got to get to this because we've got three cuts I want to play to you guys from Rick Hahn, the former general manager of the Chicago White Sox, who oversaw that rebuild. And Luis Robert was one of the big signings on his watch.
Rick Hahn, now working for MLB Network, got a chance to talk about and describe the player, Luis Robert, that a team might get, and could they get this player?
Again, he was a five-win player, looked like future superstar. It hasn't happened, but there's still value. Your thoughts?
Gold glove, silver slugger, 30-30 upside. It all comes down to health. I do think two things are working in his favor when it comes to a change of scenery. One, he has known for the last year plus that he's a short-term guy in Chicago. Yonder can speak to this a little bit better, but when you know you're not really part of the future, it makes it a little harder to come to the park every day and give your best, where he's going to be different in a
Are you motivated, park. Though, too? I mean, no, he got his you signed him to an extension.
Yeah, he's had enough. He's a prideful guy who wants to do well, but the second thing that I think is going to be different once he moves is when a team comes into Chicago for the last year plus, he's the guy they circle in the lineup mm-hmm. and say, this isn't going to be the guy to beat me.
But his numbers just aren't good.
His numbers haven't been good. They've been better as of late. Granted, yeah. Small sample. But if you're telling me I'm making a two-month bet on a guy's upside, give me someone with that skill set and with that history of excellence, and I'll go to battle.
Would you pick up his $20 million option?
I would have to decide now.
You seem to be more optimistic, and yet I'm thinking, even as low as he is, if you've made, yes, I'd pick that up. And you're thinking maybe
it's
not.
It's funny, because I'm saying, let's take two more months, see where we're at, because I am a little concerned.
I would pick that up. Okay.
But I also think that it's a lot harder coming to the ballpark. You talk about, you know, having that energy to go out there and perform and do all those things. It is a job. You got to go do your job.
Come on.
But you're losing 120 games every day. You're going to the ballpark every day knowing you're going to get your behind.
So when you're on a losing team, you're like, I'm just kind of disinterested.
No, it's just a different, you know, the players around you aren't as good. They're circling him that he can't beat you. Everything is a lot tougher. You're against the grains at all costs. Give me a guy like Roberts.
Roberts. You don't even know his name. Oh, that's funny. By the way, Yonder is Yonder Alonso, former White Sox player. So that's Rick Hahn, GM of the White Sox, talking to Yonder Alonso, former White Sox player. You're going to hear more about Yonder here in just a second. But as for that Luis Robert has known for a couple of years that he's not part of the future of this team, when they talk about, like, he's had all this time to sort of get energized and get good, and he hasn't, I don't know if Luis Robert cares. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not even here. That's not even a criticism of him. Like we were talking about earlier, like for some athletes, sports, baseball is really hard. Like Ryan Sandberg made it really hard for himself. I don't know if Luis Robert has that baseball demeanor. I don't know if he cares. I've never felt like I've known Luis Robert. I've never really read like the deep dive on Luis Robert and what kind of a person he is, what he values, how competitive he is or is not, what he wants. Does he want to be with the White Sox long term? I feel like I haven't had those questions answered through the years about Luis Robert. Like, I just don't know this guy. But let me get to it, because we are quickly running out of time. I'm going to skip ahead to the Yonder one here, Sears, because Yonder Alonso should sound familiar to White Sox fans, if not for the fact that he played for your team, but for the fact that he is the cousin of Manny Machado. And when Manny Machado free agent fever was on, a lot of us thought that Yonder Alonso would put a call in to Machado. Machado would end up with the White Sox and all would be good. So just understand that relationship exists with Yonder Alonso and Manny Machado and with Rick Hahn, from whom you are going to hear right now.
Have you ever gotten on the phone and said, if you say, don't say his name, don't even say, like, is there any player that you've said, just don't even say his name, I'm not listening?
No.
Oh, wow, okay.
You didn't do that with me. You didn't do that with
never
me.
We DFA'd you first, though. I was listening.
DFA'd you. That's right.
The quick point I'll make about Kwan, and Rick can speak to what this is like.
No hard feelings. No disrespect intended.
He did it on an off day. Yeah. I was having a barbecue.
I called you.
You're having a barbecue.
Wedding.
The challenge for a GM.
First time since we've talked.
That's right.
I wonder how this is going to go. So this morning you actually came in. I'm sorry. This morning he came in and said, how's everything going? Everything good?
I said, well, you know.
He gave me a big hug, but he got two rings after I did it.
That's right.
They're back on speaking terms. Clearly, we can make that point.
That's good stuff. You DFA'd me, man. You designated me for assignment. Oh, man. That's like a classic case of like, hey, at the end, it's all good, man. I didn't like what happened. I didn't like the call, but it happened. So, all right, I'll give you one more here. Do we have time for the Vaughn thing here?
Probably not.
Sorry. So it was Rick Hahn talking about Andrew Vaughn and saying nice things because Andrew Vaughn is playing. I assume he was saying nice things, right?
Yeah, he says he's playing like the guy they thought he was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Which makes him look good.
Sure, of course. And Andrew Vaughn has been a menace with the Milwaukee Brewers, hit a devastating grand slam off of Ryan Presley last night. It's been a fun show. Thanks to Sean Sears for helping to put this here program together tonight. Thank you to our guests. We had plenty of good guests tonight, including Megan Montemurro, Chris Emma from 670thescore.com. Scott Bear was on the show as well. That went down at 8 o'clock. If you need a quick Bears fix, we had a hot Bears conversation at that time. So for Sean Sears, I am Mark Grody, thanking all of you for listening tonight and texting. You were seeing texters. I just didn't have a lot of time to interact tonight, for which I apologize and regret. But I'll be back on the air tomorrow night in the Score Radiothon with Danny Parkins, from 6 until midnight tomorrow night. So if you want to get a load of Parko and I hanging out together, I'd love it if you guys were to listen. Until then, have a great time, everybody. I'm Mark Grody.
Bears.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.